Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
New Pirates manager, Derek Shelton. Derek, good morning. How is everything?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We are great.
Good, thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us here. It's a blustery morning in Pittsburgh. We love it. But we're getting ready for baseball. Hot stove time, and we'll get moving. We'll be in Bradenton soon enough. But let's talk about some bigger issues, I guess, if that's okay with you, Derek, as we get set on this. I guess you look back on the Pirates of last year, and there's a lot of stories out there, dissension in the clubhouse, guys at each other's throat, yada, 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 the stuff that happens with losing. What's your role in policing that place, or do you let it police itself, or does a manager need to be in there every day? Tell me about that.
Well, I think the first thing is not being there last year. It's very hard for me to comment on what actually happened just because I wasn't there and it's all secondhand. And then secondly, I think that goes with the culture you create. And, you know, I've been very open in everything I've talked about the fact that we're going to adjust the culture and change the culture. And, you know, there's going to be a new way of doing things, and it's going to be very much built around building relationships, not only for myself, but for my coaching staff. So I think that's kind of the first step in doing that.
One of the words that came up a lot towards the end of the season last year, Derek, and you may have heard this because I know you've hung out with Joe Musgrove a little bit already, because he brought this up, was accountability, guys holding each other accountable. But this is kind of to Colin's question he just asked you as well. How do you hold guys accountable if you're not, you know, as a manager's job looked at to be the guy that's in there holding them accountable every day? And if it's not the manager's job to do so, then what players do you look to hold up that standard of accountability?
Well, I think everything starts with the manager accountability-wise, you know, and one of the ways I think that I will manage the club, it will not be just sitting in my office. I mean, I'll be around and I'm out, and I like to talk to people and I like to be around people. So, you know, it won't, I don't feel my managerial style will be just be sitting in my office. You know, I'll be on the field, I'll be in the clubhouse at times. And then, again, to my first point, I think the manager is the person that is ultimately accountable for anything that happens. And then you talk to different players and you build relationships and, you know, you kind of figure out who the people in your clubhouse are that can handle things. And some of those people may be players, some of them may be coaches, and you kind of go from there. But in terms of your initial question, our guys will be held accountable, and, you know, it'll be accountability will start with me.
How does Derek Shelton marry the stuff and the data that's handed down from Ben Charrington's office and the data people and the analytics people and manage that and put that into stuff that you see with your gut or with your eyes and with a feel when you're managing a baseball team? How do you combine those two?
Well, I think that's a great question. And, you know, we've talked about this a little bit yesterday, as I think a lot of people feel that what's generally referred to as analytics is a bad thing. And my thinking on that is you want information. Regardless of any job you do, you want the most information. Now, whether that information comes from somebody from our informatics team or an analyst, or it comes from talking to a guy that's been scouting for 40 years, it's still information. And then it's my job and the staff's job to dilute that down to what we feel is appropriate for the team. And for the team is not only for everybody. I mean, if one guy takes things a lot differently than another guy, then we have to only present what the one guy likes or understands. So, you know, that's part of developing a system of the information that is coming down, asking for the right information that's coming down. And I think it gets a little overblown in the game today that, you know, there's people from upstairs running the game and giving you the things you need to do every day. There's information that comes down, but usually the guys in the dugout and the manager are the ones making the decisions.
A lot of what you've talked about so far, go back to yesterday at 11 a.m., Derek, is collaborative effort, communication. But what's Derek Shelton, the conflict manager, like? What's it happen the first time you do have to hold someone accountable Because to your point, and you've mentioned it multiple times now, you love talking to people, sitting down and getting into the nitty gritty with them. But what's it like for you when it becomes a matter of disagreements or differing perspectives?
Well, I think that goes to the first 2 points you guys have asked, is if you start to build relationships with people and you hold them accountable and you know where the guidelines are, when you have those conversations, it's fairly easier because of the fact you have already laid it out. It's not like something is going to be addressed because we haven't talked about it. We've talked about it. We've laid out what we expect of you. Now, if you, you know, for lack of a better term, cross that line to do it, then we're going to sit down and we're going to talk about it. And it's going to be addressed. But I think the thing that I found out from the places I've been and the coaches and managers I've worked with is when you lay down, you know, the guidelines of what your expectations are, you don't cross them as much. Because when you tell guys what you expect out of them, they usually do a good job staying within those lines.
Follow us on Twitter at 937TheFan, driven by Shorty Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram locations in North Huntington and North Hills. Derek Shelton, new Pirates manager, joining us here, Fan Morning Show. Okay, yesterday during your news conference, you outlined how you delegate power, and you want to be big in doing that and giving everybody their job and letting them do it. Now, you tell me how you're not going to be compelled when you're in Bradenton, if you see Josh Bell doing this with his shoulder or stepping here doing that, to jump into the cage and roll up your sleeves and take an active role in hitting. Can you stop yourself from doing that? Or are there times you are going to roll up your sleeves and get in there?
No, I can stop myself. I mean, I've spent the last 3 years out of a hitting role. So it's one of those things that, you know, if I see something, it'll be something I'll bring up with the hitting group. And I think that's a twofold thing. When I was a hitting coach, I really didn't want people jumping in on me, you know. And so it's a very good lesson for me now as, you know, previously as a bench coach and now as a manager, that if I see something, it goes through the hitting group. And the reason why that is because hitting coaches, since you use the reference of hitting coaches are working on things specifically. And a lot of time, regardless of who it is, whether it's the manager or another coach or a special assistant or anybody tries to jump in, they don't know the process that's been working on or has been worked on. And if that process gets kind of off track and the player starts to think differently, then it's a negative thing for the player because then the player could take a step back. So I think we have to be very mindful, not only myself, but the rest of the staff, to, you know, realize that, you know, each guy has a role. Now, you can talk about it, but doing it in front of the player is usually not the best play.
That makes right now you, Ben, and Travis, that makes hiring the right guy then very imperative in both the hitting and the pitching roles, right?
100%. I think, you know, and we talked about it a little bit yesterday, hiring a staff is goal number one right now. And if, you know, not goal number one, the ultimate goal for the offseason, but in the interim, it is goal number one because we have to find the right people to put in those roles and to make sure that not only they're going to collaborate with me and Ben, but they're also, and more importantly, they're the best people for the players on a daily basis because they're the one that's going to be, you know, talking to them about the specific skill set.
Derek, what have you learned? Because your experience is varied in that you spend a lot of time in the Yankees organization, both playing and then coaching and managing, coming up through their system. But then also, you think of some of the classic, quote-unquote, small market success stories in Cleveland and Tampa and last year in Minnesota. How do you take, I guess, how do you marry the concepts and the management styles of all of those organizations to find the sweet spot of what's necessary here in Pittsburgh, which is also, much like Tampa, Cleveland, and Minnesota, a smaller market?
Well, I love the fact you said I played for a long time, because that may be a little bit of a stretch. But
we got to build you up, Derek. We got to build you up, man.
I like it. But I think you do, Mary. I think it's one of those things that you learn everywhere you went. And you try to take the good things of the places you were and the bad things of places you were and then, you know, pick out what you want. So, I mean, I've been very fortunate. I was in Cleveland, you know, at the forefront of a lot of, you know, communication, probably the initial communication between the front office and the coaching staff when Mark Shapiro was there. And then I was in Tampa where they were the leaders in information. I mean, they were very far ahead of the game, and they were using it because of, you know, their resources and their resource challenge. So, and then having been in Toronto, which was a little larger market, and then Minnesota, who's kind of in between, I think you piece together you know, the common things about how guys, not only in the front office, but in the coaching staff, took the information and then applied it on a daily basis.
I think in seeing him in spring, you'd probably agree that Marte is as athletic a baseball player as you'll see anywhere. He's recently been quoted as saying he wants to win. Whether it's here, if it's somewhere else, it's somewhere else. What do you say when you talk to him that first time?
It's going to be an introduction, just like, you know, everybody else. The fact that he wants to win and has made a public comment about that doesn't change it. I mean, I think we all want to win, and I think we want players that want to win. So, you know, it's a situation where, you know, he made a comment that's very true. He feels like he wants to win, and so it doesn't change any parts of the conversation between us.
Derek, Ben mentioned yesterday the idea of the manager's role being very involved in baseball operations, and I'm curious what the discussions have been like. It's early on, but it is the meat of the offseason right now, and you're going to have to quickly decide what the major league roster is going to look like. What have the conversations been like between you and Ben about, I guess, not necessarily specific players, but the composition of this roster this year and how you grow this roster as one sort of total mass, one team throughout this coming summer?
Well, I think that we'll have a really better handle on that in about 10 days, you know, getting ready to go out to San Diego and be at the winter meetings when everybody is there together and the composition of our roster, where there are changes, you know, one way or another. I think we'll have a better feel for it then. A lot of our conversations so far, just because it's new, have been, you know, baseline in terms of that, just trying to get to know the players, both him and I both. I mean, it's not like, you know, he's been here a long time too. He's been here less than a month. So just both of us trying to get, you know, up to date on that and then have conversations about it. And then secondly, like I said, I mean, we're in the process of building a staff, so that's kind of been at the forefront of most conversations.
Last thing for you, Derek Shelton, new Pirates manager. Do you understand, I guess, the responsibility, that's probably the right word, that comes with being the bridge in the face of an organization publicly? When you go to the grocery store, when you go to get gas in your car, when you're out with just your kids shopping or whatever, and that's heightened and you've not experienced that as the top man before?
No, I think I'm learning to understand that. To say that I fully understand it because I've never done it, I don't think it's fair. You know, the fact that in Tampa when I was there, and I wasn't the manager, but I lived in Tampa, so I was around the community all the time, so you get a little bit of a sense of it that way. And then, you know, secondly, I've had conversations with people about that, and I think it's, you know, a place like Pittsburgh is even greater because of the passion for their three teams here. And it's something that I welcome and something that I'm excited about. And I mean, I think, you know, I referenced it multiple times yesterday in the presser, you know, being part of the Pittsburgh community is very important to my family and I. So, you know, I look forward to that.
It's a lot easier to go out for a walk when you win. I'll just let you know that, Derek.
Yeah, I won't disagree with you there.
Well, thank you much. I'm sure we'll probably talk to you beforehand, but if not, we'll catch up in Bradenton. Good luck at the winter meetings. Get all that you can, and we'll talk soon.
All right. Thanks for having me on, guys. Have a great day.
Thank you, Derek. Appreciate it.
Great stuff. Good stuff from Derek Shelton.
I mean, the one thing I said yesterday after just sort of sitting back and observing that introductory press conference, and I think the observation stands after our conversation with him over the last 15 minutes, is the manager's role is going to be much more communicative to not just the media, but to everyone else within the organization, I think, going forward. And that's not specifically a knock on Clint and the job he did over the totality of his era, but I think towards the end, it feels like
he's going to be closer to being part of a team than he is being sort of some guy that you
overseer.
Yes. I was going to say dictator, overseer, some sort of guy like that. Good stuff from him.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.